Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled Without Honor, and it is based on Ezekiel chapter 2 verses 1 through 5 and Mark chapter 6 verses 1 through 13. Let us dive into the Word today. "Stand up, you son of man," said the voice. "I want to speak with you." The Spirit came into me as he spoke, and he set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his words. "Son of man," he said, "I am sending you to the nation of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been rebelling against me to this very day. They are a stubborn and hard-hearted people, but I am sending you to say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says,' and whether they listen or refuse to listen, for remember, they are rebels, at least they will know they have had a prophet among them." Amen. And from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family." And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. "Wherever you go," he said, "stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate." So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Amen. Jesus returned to his hometown, to the people he grew up around and knew. Home sweet home. How does the phrase go? There's no place like home. How does the Bon Jovi song go? Who says you can't go home? Up to this point, Jesus had performed many miracles. He had cast out demons, healed the sick, cured the blind, and those who were physically and mentally challenged. This uneducated peasant, this hometown boy from Nazareth, debated with the best of them. He made the educated religious scholars and leaders look like they were the ones in need of an education. While he stirred up controversy, as prophets tend to do, I mean, let's be honest, he was someone you would think would be welcome back home. Someone to rally behind. I mean, this guy had been seen doing tremendous things, healing the sick, curing the lame, bringing sight to the blind. You would think that this is somebody you would rally behind. You would think that this is somebody you'd be happy and excited and joyful to embrace. But upon his arrival. Jesus did not find any sign reading, Nazareth, home of Jesus, son of Joseph, great prophet, rabbi, and miracle worker. Rather, he found people were mocking him. They were astounded that this peasant carpenter could teach anything at all. They deliberately mentioned Jesus was the son of Mary as opposed to mentioning his father. They did that as a slight, as an insult toward Jesus. This, again, is where we lose context in our day and age because our society is not the same as theirs. This was very much a patriarchal society. And we have patriarchy in our society as well, but not to the extent of this. This was such a patriarchal society that whenever you mentioned so-and-so belonged to a parent, you always mentioned the father. Oh, isn't that Jesus, son of Joseph, the carpenter? Because that was the lineage from which he was from, according to that time and that place and that culture. The father was the one you mentioned, not the mother. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but that's the way the culture was then. And really, we still trace our lineage, at least in the Western world, through our fathers, though that's starting to change with people taking on both the mother and the father's name, with the hyphen thing going on with the last name, where you take the mother's maiden name and you hyphen it and add to the end of it the father's surname, and you then have this combined name. So it is, you know, that is changing a little bit, but in Jesus's day and age, it was always traced through the father. And so this community deliberately mentioned Jesus was the son of Mary to insult him, as opposed to mentioning his father. This was a slap in his face, if there was one in that time, for the lineage was traced through the father. No. Jesus was not welcomed. He was utterly rejected. I want to pause here. I want you to realize that Jesus came back to his home synagogue. Much like you have a home church, or some of you may anyway, I don't know if all of you go to church, but those of you who have a home church, it would be like somebody who grew up in your church coming back to your home church. Or somebody who used to be a part of your household coming back to your house. Or somebody who used to work with you coming back to your place of employment. Think about this. When somebody returns home. But in the context of the synagogue, it would be like somebody who was once a member of your church, grew up in your church, coming back home to your church. These are the people who he loved. The people he grew up around, the people who helped him form the foundation of his faith. Perhaps he had visions as a child of being married in that synagogue. Perhaps he had visions of having a family there. These were the people who nurtured the young Jesus in his faith. Yet when Jesus came to them as the Christ, they did not rejoice. They did not recognize he was only, or they did not recognize who he was, but only who he had been. I want to say that again. When Jesus came to them as the Christ, they did not rejoice. They did not recognize who he was revealing himself to be, but only who he had been in their perception, in their mind. And they were deeply offended that this hometown boy would dare preach to them and tell them how they should live. Just who did he think he was? Who did this upstart peasant boy who used to work with his father in carpentry, who's the mother of that woman, Mary, you know, the one who conceived of a child before she was married, that scandalous person? Who Who was he? Who did that upstart peasant think he was? Who did that upstart boy, now before us as a man, think he is? What does Scripture tell us? What does Scripture tell us Jesus' response was? Jesus said, "A prophet is without honor in his or her hometown." And then Jesus left Nazareth, refusing to do any miracles or signs there. Jesus left Nazareth. The Christ came to that synagogue in Nazareth, and they let him pass right on by. There's a message for us here today. Many of us are adults. Many of us who are listening now are adults, connected to children in our churches, in our communities, and in our homes. These little ones are put in our care. They are nurtured by us. Their foundation is formed by us. We also know young ones who are now growing up into young adults, who are no doubt given a vision for the church and for witnessing to Christ out in this world, who are given a vision of how we should do things, how we should treat each other, how we should relate to one another. My question to you is this: will you listen to their voice? Will you see them for who they are? Or will you merely see them as they were, those silent little babes that hung like posable ornaments on your lap, who didn't question your authority or the authority of our rulers or the ways of this society or the way we've done things forever and ever, amen, ad nauseam, ad infinitum? Will you see them for who they are, or will you merely see them as they were? Will you accept them, embrace them, listen to them, engage with them, talk with them? Or will you reject them, turn them down, push them away, call them snowflakes or whatever label you want to throw at them because they couldn't possibly know what they're talking about because they haven't been around as long as you or as long as us? My challenge for us today is twofold. First, to the children, to the youth, to the young adults out there who may be listening, or whom you may be connected with and can give this message. Use the voice, the vision God has given you. Use the voice, the vision that God has given you. Share that vision with the church, with your parents, with your communities, and with the world. Second, to you who are the adults of the church who are listening to this, make a space for our children. To you who are the adults in your household, in your communities, in your schools, in your businesses, make a space for our children, our youth, our young adults to share with you what's on their heart for the church, for our families, for our communities, for our businesses, for the world. See to it that they aren't without honor in the church, within our homes, within our communities, within our schools.
within our world. And don't, please don't just let them pass on by. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have challenged us today. You have reminded us that a prophet indeed is welcome except in his or her own hometown, among his or her own family members and friends. Lord, help us to not be a stubborn people. Help us to not have the hardened hearts that God said we have in Ezekiel. Help us to not be like the people of Nazareth who rejected Jesus because he didn't meet up to how they remembered him. Lord, help us to be open to the voices around us, young and old, who are speaking your word to us, who are revealing your truth to us, who are calling us into account and holding us accountable to your word so that we may grow and move forward toward you. Help us all listen to each other and speak to each other and promote each other and encourage each other and hold each other accountable and build each other up so that we all may grow ever closer to you and your kingdom. We thank you for those you have sent to us and put in our care, and we thank you that they've grown up and become independent and become able to hear your voice and relate your message to us. What a blessing. Help us to see it as a blessing and to embrace it, and help our young ones to find their voice and to speak it, no matter the cost. For the truth always, always matters more than the cost. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I want to thank you for tuning in this week for this message, the message, of course, which is entitled Without Honor. It is always a pleasure to have you tune in and hear my messages. I want to remind you that next week, July 22nd, we will be returning, or I will be returning, I should say, to the Graceful Justice series, and we'll be giving you the last and final, the sixth and final message of the Graceful Justice series, which is called At All Costs. And just to refresh you, that will discuss Paul and how Paul was willing, and the lengths that Paul was willing to go to see graceful justice through, and to try to be a unifier among people who had many differences in order to hold them accountable to the love of God and to the message of Jesus Christ. So this is going to be a great conclusion. It's going to be insightful and eye-opening, and I hope that you will tune in to listen to it next week, July 22nd. Until then, my friends, God bless you and be a blessing to others. Go in peace.